a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim 7.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. You're welcome to our program, Everyday Muslim, courtesy MPAC. I am Laudable Latifa Omotoluake, and today we'll be discussing the topic, From Mistakes to Mercy, Returning to Allah with Hope. And discussing that topic with me today is our Hajia Sakina Adefumilola Saeed. Assalamu alaikum, Hajia.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're welcome. Hajia Sakina is a remarkable individual with a diverse range of roles and talents. She's not only a mother, but also a devoted Muslima who continually strives to please Allah. In addition to her personal commitments, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. Furthermore, Mrs. Sakina Adefunlola Saeed is an entrepreneur, demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of Lagos State University Education, LASUED, formerly known as AOCOED. One of her favorite statements is, "What is my body weight to enter Jahannam?" Subhanallah. This statement reflects her deep commitment to her faith and serves as a reminder of the importance of one's spiritual journey. And with that introduction, I would like to start the show today. Hajia, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, the topic today is From Mistakes to Mercy, Returning to Allah with Hope. So, every human being makes mistakes.
Sure.
Some small, some heavy, enough to weigh down the heart. For many, it's not just the mistake that lingers, but the guilt, the shame, and the quiet question, can I really return to Allah after this? Yet in Islam, no matter how far one feels, the door of mercy is never shut. So today we explore not just our shortcomings, but the hope, the healing, and the path back. Now, let's begin here. Why do so many people feel that their sins are too big for Allah's mercy? Is that perception accurate in Islam?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح صدر ويسر لي امري واحلل العقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله that we are Muslims and we have a manual to life.
Nah.
We have a guide. We don't just walk through the true life. We have things that are guiding us from time to time, and the Quran is our manual. It's our guide. The Quran has never told us that our sins are bigger than Allah. If a child, no matter how much he or she has sinned, she has this mindset that her mother will always welcome her back. So how much more Allah, the creator of heaven and earth? If the prodigal son can still come back and still be welcome into the home after he has told the father, give me my property, I want to go and live. And he went ahead and lavished the money. If it could come back to the father and the father still, he's still my child. Yoruba will say, you can't throw a child away. You can't throw the child into the lion's den. Your child will always be your child, irrespective of what happened. So how much more the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the whole universe, the creator of everything, both sin and unsin, will now, do we limit his own mercy to that of human? So in Quran 39 verse 53, Allah in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah said that His mercy encompasses everything and it has no limits. Once somebody is not dead, then we can't actually say this person is written off, or we can't outright that person. At every stage, Allah is merciful. He wants us back. His arms is always open for us. So you thinking that your sin is too big is like ridiculing. Maybe you want to ridicule the mercy of Allah, or you want to talk less of Allah. Even when you do something huge to a human being, you still feel that they should still overlook.
Yes.
Not to talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at no point in time should a Muslim, either, no matter the level of your piety, you should know that Allah is still merciful. That is why even till the point of death, the Prophet still encouraged us to say, just be proclaiming the kalma to shahada when somebody is about to give up the ghost, because we still believe Allah is still merciful.
Nah.
At that little point in time, Allah can still show His mercy.
So we must never lose sight.
Any point in time. Not at any point in time, because Allah is still merciful even to the last point. The shaitan is not going to leave you, but Allah is still merciful.
Yeah. And of course, there have been plethora of examples
of
where
course.
Allah has shown mercy to people that the society would have even thought, oh no, this person is doomed.
No. Even it's a very glaring thing. We have it all around us. We have series of examples around us whereby we know that Allah has been so merciful. Sometimes we see somebody, I have seen in secondary school, you see some people, they will dress anyhow, they will have gone to the club. I remember somebody was talking to me maybe last year or last 2 years and said that, you remember some people that they were misbehaving, they were promiscuous when they were in secondary school. And they would get married, they have children. They even marry best of husbands. If not, Allah is merciful.
Yeah.
If Allah has judged us according to the way we have lived our life at times. Yes, some people don't have even smell, not,
some,
it's not
some
even
bounces.
Smell, not even the air that comes with the mercy of Allah. So Allah is so merciful. So don't write anybody off, and nobody should ever think that my sin is so big. Allah is more mighty. That's why there is a prayer that is very common among the sisters. It will say, we are doing this with our little effort, but Allah should use His own mighty to accept it. So we shouldn't at any point in time think that Allah's mercy is limited. It is not that limited.
Our sins are too big.
No.
Our sins no longer access the mercy.
The only sin Allah says He will not forgive is shirk. And Allah does not even say somebody is a mushrikun until the person has left this earth. That's when when the book is closed, we now say, okay, this one is a mushrik. He actually has such a partner with Allah. So the Prophet says he met the Sahabas at the very edge of the hellfire. And he brought them. Arabians are very, very complicated set of people. If Allah could show mercy on them, is it easy for somebody that was worshipping 365 idols and Allah still show mercy? You know, they will go to the forest. You carve woods. It's so funny that some people will even come from their country to sell wood to them. Yes, and they will say, this is Lata, this is Uzza, this is their own god, and they will bow down. They are the one that went into the forest. And if Allah could show mercy, how strict they are. Even when they were Muslim, they were doing some things, this racism, they told Bilal not to call to prayer, and some other things like that. Allah still overlooked. Allah still show mercy. Let me tell you, there was this, because we are not the way Allah is. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad, somebody, once he killed Hamza, and Allah was still sending the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back to Wasi more than 70 times. Go and tell him about me. Yes, and you know, it was so awful. The death of Hamza was something that hurt the Prophet so much. Even while when Wasi accepted Islam, the Prophet still encouraged him to be sitting at his back, because anytime he sees him, remember that he was the one that killed Hamza. But Allah was still sending His own messenger back to somebody that killed the most beloved person to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how much mercy is Allah?
Thank you so much. In fact, that is really, really reassuring. And may Allah's mercy never elude us.
Amen.
Now, there's a difference between guilt that leads to change and then shame that leads to withdrawal. all surrounded, you know, of course, emanating from sin. Mm-hmm. So there's this guilt that one may feel that will then lead to change. And there's this shame that one will feel that will lead to withdrawal. So how does Islam guide us to respond in a healthy, faith-driven way?
Alhamdulillah. Extremism, when you are being extreme, Islam does not encourage you. You have to be minal kof wal jain, between hope and fear. You shouldn't be too comfortable with your own sin. And you shouldn't be too scared because Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Too much of fear leads to despair, and too much of comfort make you careless. So in between, a Muslim must be in between. The fear that I should not keep committing sin, and the hope that Allah is merciful, He will accept me. There's this, I remember when we were very small, some people would say, if you caution them and say, don't do this, Allah doesn't like it, they'll say, the state at which they are now, when Allah, maybe on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will just look at them and say, your own sin is too much. By the time Allah throw them like this, they will just fly past the Jahannam and they will enter al-Jannah. That kind of mentality is very, very, very wrong. Allah doesn't make mistakes. It is human. Allah knows we are human. We will make mistakes. We are bound to commit sins. We are bound. Even when the Prophet says, Allah should help this Ummah so that we don't sin against Allah. Allah said no. The Prophet actually requested for it. How much love the Prophet has for this Ummah. He prayed for it. He said, Allah, please don't let my woman sin against you. Allah said, where are you going to put my name? Al-Ghafar. So if they don't commit sin, how do I forgive them? So you're not going to erase that name. They will commit sin, but they will always come back. Even if you come back a million times, Allah is still ready. So don't have this mindset of, shame, I can't go. No. Even as shameful as you are, just go back to Him. He's ready to accept it 1 million and, in fact, 1 billion uncountable times. Just keep going back.
You know, that's such an amazing insight because it gives a lot of hope.
Of course.
There are times, a lot of times, some people perpetrate sin out of course, the human nature, the fact that humans are susceptible to error. And when those things then happen, there's that shame and that fear that, how could I have done this? But from what you said now, that in between, don't be too comfortable in sin, hence you become reckless.
Yeah.
And don't be too fearful, hence you now drift into despair and feel that you are hopeless. There's no way forward for you and drift further into the sin. So the in-between is what we should strive for.
Yes, that's what the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us. Minalukauf wala join. Just be in between. Be hopeful and be fearful so that you won't commit so much sin. You'll be in between. May Allah is our fear.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Thank you so much. Now, for someone listening right now who feels distant from Allah because of past mistakes, what is the first step they should take?
The first step is realizing you've committed a sin. Once you realize that it is a mistake, there is a difference between you doing things and you don't have that guilt, you don't have that conscience, you just feel that these things are normal.
You are not sober.
Yes, you are not sober. You don't feel remorseful.
No remorse.
You just want to continue doing it. The fact that you know that, or you accepted in your heart that this is actually something not good, something not ideal, something not worth seeing you with, it's a step of going towards your Creator. At that time, Allah's hand is wide open. It doesn't mean that we say Allah has hand like us, because in fiqh you have to be very, very careful. So, but it means that Allah is opening his hand, is ready to accept you. So at that stage, admitting that you actually committed an error. Okay, for instance, even as human, when a child offends you, or your younger ones, or your elder ones, the first thing, or friends, the first thing you want to actualize, establish, is does the person actually understand? Or does, yes, can you own that mistake? Can you own it that yes, I actually did wrong? That if you can get to that stage is the first step. And you don't rush things. when you admit, is one step towards Allah, because the heart has to be closer to Allah first before the physical act, the physical body. So when you accept that, talk to Allah in your own language. If you have the opportunity, perform nawafil. Tell Allah. Even if you don't have nawafil, if you can't perform nawafil, sit where you are or where you are, whatever you are doing. At that moment, that thing comes to you. Allah, I have heard. I have fallen. I have made mistakes. Please accept me. I'm coming back. Just say that in your own little way, the way you can say it. All those little things. Do you know how amazing Allah is? Allah Akbar. Allah Alhamdulillah that we are Muslim. There was a story that I had, is a serial, that one day somebody was going with his horse. He was traveling on the desert. And when he got to a certain stage, he fell sleepy. He put his horse, he tied it to the camel, and he slept off. By the time he woke up, he couldn't find his horse. Wow, how do I make this journey on this desert? Mm. So he started looking everywhere, running out, let's get that. For hours, he was still looking for the horse or camel. At a stage, he got tired, he slept back again. You know, he was exhausted. Because all the provision were on the camel or horse. So everything, he lost it. He just got tired and he slept off. By the time he woke up, he just found the camel or horse beside him. He was like, ah, Allah, you are my slave, I'm your Lord. And the Prophet said, Allah smiled. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was saying he was Allah's Lord and Allah is his own slave.
SubhanAllah.
You know, it's a misstatement, but Allah was happy because it was joy.
Yes,
so the intent was what Allah understood, not the statement. What I'm trying to say in essence is that no matter in whatever language you want to tell Allah, just admit it. It's just like when we do istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No, astaghfirullah, Allah, I took what was not mine. Please forgive me. That one istighfar, way more than when you do billions of istighfar, that you are not connected to your Lord.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Because what this says now is, first of all, recognize your error.
Exactly.
Recognize that this is a sin.
Exactly.
Don't justify. Don't say, look, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm only human anyway. No. Don't justify it.
Exactly.
Recognize that this is a sin before Allah. And then accept that, okay, this is where I am. And then, you know, approach Allah where you are with what you have. If you can
stand up
in whatever language and then approach Allah with the most sincerity and bidni light Allah, He will show us mercy.
Of course. You don't need big Arabic. Just tell, in your own language, if it is Yoruba, if it is Efik, if it is Igbo, if it is Hausa, whatever language, if it is Indonesia, whatever language you want to address, just tell Allah how sorry you are and how you're willing to come back. That's just that.
Alhamdulillah, blah. I mean, may Allah continue to accept our reversion to Him.
Amen.
Now, we often hear that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Allah is Ar-Rahim. How can a believer internalize this mercy in a deeply personal way? You know, sometimes when we say these words as Muslims, we say it a lot. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. If you're not careful, you know, it might just be words.
It just becomes something of the tongue.
Something of the tongue. Yeah. So how do you, you know, internalize this mercy in a deeply personal way?
That is why, Alhamdulillah, it is always good, no matter how recent you are in Islam. You should be willing to learn. That is why there's this hadith that says, Farifuni kobulan tabudun, waman lam ya arifun, fakaifa ya abudun. Allah says, know me before you worship me. If you don't know me, how do you worship me? So you need to know Allah. That is why if you, for a rivati, we always encourage, when you learn Surah Al-Fatiha, learning with its meaning. No matter how, some of this dua that you say, when you know their meaning,
They have more meaning.
Yes, they eat differently. They had, you know, the commitment, the connection between you and your Lord.
And the belief.
The belief that, no, there's this name of Allah that is very common with all of us. Yeah, let's see. Because everybody feels Allah is most kind, is most compassionate. He will show me mercy. And that is why our mothers, they always say, yeah, let's see. You understand? So this Ar-Rahman, we need to have a broad knowledge about it. Allah, Ar-Rahman,
the beneficent.
Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. The most merciful the of most merciful. Most merciful. Yeah. So at every point in time, we should know that Allah is merciful. And if we have that connection, all we need is just the conviction and connection that this is who Allah is, and Allah is going to be sufficient for us. So at every point in time, when whatever name, whatever thing we are saying, I always encourage, like what I used to say is, Allah loves something that is little, but you're consistent with it. If you have little things, that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Balik ayah. If it is just one ayah that you understand, tell people about it. If you tell people about it, they him, they have to, you understand it more. That is why the Prophet ﷺ, when Aisha was asked, says, who is Muhammad? He said, Muhammad is Quran. Quran is Muhammad. So it means there is nothing Allah, the Prophet ﷺ has said that is not something that it is ordained by Allah. Allah commanded it. He doesn't even joke. Without it being something that is, will be of benefit to the religion. So at every point in time when we call on Allah's name, let's reflect on it. Okay, look at what happened this series that we had during Ramadan with this caller, Umar, forgotten the name. I think it's Omaru. I've forgotten this. Hisham, yes.
Hisham. Okay, no.
Is it Hisham?
No, it's not Hisham. Umar. It's Hisham Umar. Is a reciter.
Okay.
Umar Suleiman.
I can't remember the surname, but I know there is this series that he did
Institute.
This years of Yakin Institute that he did in Ramadan. Look at how, you know, some people look at, you watch this from people's status and you feel it. You see goosebumps on your body, the way the communication was going. It is not something that I just say, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. No, there were explicit words that attached to those words, that attached to the names, and the reflection, you will feel it in you. The spirituality of it. So you don't just say Ar-Rahim. Think of how messy Allah has been. Some things that Allah has done for you that you don't even deserve.
So personally, for instance, when one is doing the azkar for morning and evening, for instance, I, as much as yes, one has memorized it, but I try to, while reciting, look at the meaning. Just like you said about reflection, yeah. It really helps one to internalize it in a deeply personal way. Because when you're seeing the meaning, you're seeing the weight, then you have renewed hope.
Of course.
That, okay. So
it is right even path. The best. That is why sometimes, yes, for women, we don't have much time on our hands. But once in a while, we can cultivate the habit of sitting down and doing our car. So many times we don't have the opportunity. We want to take care of the children, they need to go to school, we want to care for our husbands, they needed to take their food to the school. So sometimes most of our car is while you are cooking,
on the move.
So mostly it is like that. That is the reality. But sometimes when we have that time, it is better to sit, recite your car. And sometimes, that is why I said, as a Muslim, you don't stop learning. You don't stop learning. You keep learning. Even if it is just one verse per time or one word per time, just keep learning.
And also what comes to mind based on what you said about that series also is that things like that you can listen to in transit or while doing something else that can explain further the might of Allah, the meaning of his names. And things like that you can listen to while doing other things.
Exactly.
So it helps one to deeply internalize those names and mercy of Allah. In fact, the conversation has been really, really interesting. I know that some of our listeners are itching to join the conversation. So you can call us on 0700-0917-917 or 091-5591-7917. You can join the conversation. Now, so Hajia, can you share examples from Islamic history or stories that show that no one is beyond redemption? I know there's a plethora of them.
Of course.
But just share some with us.
Okay, let's look at the life of Asia, the wife of Firaun. From a palace that you feel that, wealth is going to be something that is going to debar this person from worshipping Allah. Look at the pain she has to go through. She even requested for a house in Jannah from Allah. And Allah granted it to her in the verse of the Quran. Or if you are from the perspective of people don't understand you, ridicule, humiliations, family rejections and some other things. Let's look at the story of Maryam, the mother of Isa. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Mus'ab, you know, and look at Umar, radiallahu anhu. Stubborn, agile, you know. Despite the fact that I remembered when I read about the Sirah, when the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand to Allah and said, please give strengthen Islam through Umar or Abu Jahl. From my own perspective, I would have said that, astaghfirullah, Abu Jahl will have been the best person the Prophet will even be expecting. Because then the Prophet hasn't married Afsa. But then the daughter of the Prophet was married to the son of Abu Jahl. You understand?
So let's take it that a Muslim that doesn't know much about Sirah is listening to us today. Mm-hmm. And they want one or two practical stories about people who themselves, for one reason or the other, you know, it would have been perceived to be beyond redemption.
Okay.
And yet, Allah showed them mercy.
Okay, there's a popular story of a man that killed 99 people.
SubhanAllah.
Yes, he killed 99 people and he went to meet a scholar and say, do you think Allah can forgive me? And that one said, you killed 99. Ah, Allah cannot forgive you. And he killed the scholar.
The said scholar.
Making 100. Said scholar that said you could not be forgiven by Allah. He killed the scholar to say, okay, let me make it 100. Let me continue. Since I cannot be forgiven, let me continue killing. And he killed the 100 person, the scholar. After some time, he met another person, said, can Allah forgive me? He said, Allah can forgive you. If you make redemption, if you feel remorseful, and you are willing to change your ways, Allah can forgive you. So, he said, are you sure? He said, yes. Then he said, okay. This will even help us. This story will help us how we can even redeem ourselves. The first step was, the scholar said, now you have to, what are the factors that make you commit the sin? The factors should be identified. What are the factors? After identify the factor, sometimes it is not about the sin.
Yes.
It's about identifying the factors that make you commit that sin. Mm. Is it loneliness? Is it the environment? Is it peer pressure? Is it the society? So at that stage, the scholar says, you have to change your environment. You understand? I remember one book that I read that like that when I was in secondary school. It says that there's this man, he was working with his boss. And there was a day that he actually saw very huge amount of money, maybe in the dustbin or something like that, and he returned it back to his boss. So after some years, he stopped working with the boss. There was a day the boss was now driving in the market, and he now saw they were saying, thief, 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 ow. On getting there, it was that his former employee. He was like, no, this person can never steal, and he rescued him. You know, he had to swear with his life that this person, you don't know him. He can never steal. And he took that man, put him in his car and said, let's go. And when they were going, he said, those people doesn't know you. You that saw very huge amount of money and you brought it back to me. He said, boss, I actually stole that thing. What was that thing? Just an earring. You that could return a huge amount of money. What led you to
stealing
an earring? You're not even a female. What do you want to do with an earring? He said, it is the society, it's the environment. That when he was working with the boss, he used to be among pious people. He has good friends. But when he got to that market, he's like, you know,
every kind of person.
Yes. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us, when you are entering the market, la ilaha illallah wa la sharika illallah wa mulku wa la hamdu lillahi wa yumit wa wa la kulli shay'in qadir. So you see, when environments affect a lot of people, even our children, peer groups, peer pressure, sometimes it's not as if because they see those things as something special, but because my friend is doing it, why can't I do it?
But Hajia, before we lose sight of that story, I'm really interested in how did that story end with that man who killed 99 people in the
Sirah. After the scholar spoke with him, the scholar said, okay, you have to leave this environment, and he actually left the environment. He was going on his way and he now died. So the angels of the pious were about to take his soul. No, the angels of the evil said, no, this one belongs to us. They started dragging it. So Allah gave them the instruction. Go and measure where he's coming from and where he's going. So the measurements were now determined. Yes. So see how merciful Allah is. According to so many writers, they said, it is just like a sperm of ant or leg, maybe just a feet, that it was close, maybe it was more than the place it was coming from. Like, it's like in between. Just feel, maybe a step ahead of where it was coming from the middle. Now, so this place now is not fiery from this place and closer to this place. And Allah says, is a child of Al-Jannah. Let him go to Al-Jannah. He died on his way. But the repentance was already there.
Yes, he was already walking towards the path of, yes, of repentance.
Repentance. So he was already moving towards it.
Do you have any other story for us, just quickly?
There are so many stories. Okay.
I know there are so many actually from Cyril that, yes, just you know that just shows that no one is beyond redemption.
Okay, like the one I said earlier on, the story of Wasi. There was this woman, I've forgotten her name. She was the one that contributed to how Hamza was killed. And she later accepted Islam. Come and see how she walked towards Islam. Even Umar before Islam, he was against Islam. He fought and there was a lot of, you understand? The day he accepted Islam was the day he was going to kill the Prophet.
SubhanAllah.
Yes, he was actually on his way to kill the Prophet. And if Allah could show mercy to somebody that said, I'm going to kill
the
most beloved. And he was on his way, somebody now said, where are you going to? Instead of you to look at your house that is leaking, you are going to go and look for trouble. You want to go and kill the Prophet. Okay, your house is already leaking. So he got the message and he was like, he went to his younger sister and they were reciting surah to Toha. They were reading the Quran. When they heard his knock, they were packing themselves. One leaf of the surah to Toha, they didn't pack
out.
It with, yes. And when he came, he said, you left the religion of your own father, this and that, and he slapped his sister, there was blood, this and that. And that one said, okay, what if the religion that just came is better than the religion of the father? And he said, okay, recite those things, tell me about it. And that was how they started reciting to him about Surah Al-Toha, started crying. And that was how he proclaimed the Shahada. If somebody as wicked as strong as that, somebody that has gone against Islam, somebody that has killed, you know, Allah has been so merciful. So if that such person has been able to find Allah's mercy, the Prophet says he met the Sahabas at the edge of fire and Jahannam, and he was able to take them back to Al-Jannah.
Right path.
Yes. So if you look at a lot of the Sahabas.
It even also reminds me of the story of the prostitutes, also from the Sirah.
Whereby they gave a dog.
Yes, a dog some water. I saw a dog, you know, parading beside a well, obviously thirsty, and then said, "Oh, okay," and made steps to use her shoe to give the dog water. And Allah said, "Okay, you have been pardoned."
Yes, that's how merciful Allah is.
There are lots of stories,
it is really encouraged
for us to, like you said earlier, that Allah said, "Know me before you worship me."
Yeah.
These are the things that give one renewed hope in Allah.
Of course.
So may Allah continue to increase us in knowledge.
Amen.
And guide us aright.
Amen.
Now, sometimes people repent, you know, but they keep falling back into the same sin. And you've said it before that, you know, one of the things to do is to look at what are the factors that are actually making one fall back into this sin time and time again. But how should they understand their struggle without losing hope? Because, you know, sometimes there are different kinds of sins, and some sins, the nature of those sins are such that it's a struggle. This person actually has good intentions, but somehow they find themselves falling back into those sins. So how do they understand their struggle without losing hope? That, okay, look, I mean, I've been struggling with this thing for the longest time, and I don't think there's any way back.
For anything we do in life, life itself is a struggle. For everything, education, even those that learn skills, it is a struggle. For some people, it is. That's why for an educationist like me, We say that we have three categories of learners. We have the kinesthetic learners, we have the auditory learner, we have the visual learner. In those days, we used to say they are genius, they are average learners, and they are dullard. But for everybody, somebody that is a dullard in academics might not be dullard in skill.
Yeah.
So one thing we should always know is that we will always go back to those things. Sometimes we'll be tempted to fall in that because Allah will want to test us. That is why Bilal Radi Alani says when it was being taken by the Arabs and they were dragging him on the floor, they were putting his back on hot coal, and some children were asking him, Bilal, can't you just leave this thing that they say you should not do again? So they will stop punishing you. He asked the children, he said, when your mother goes to the market and buys some clay pots and is trying to eat the clay pots, does it mean your mother wants to break the clay pot? They said, no, our mother is only testing if the clay pot is strong enough. He said, yes, my Lord is testing me if I'm still going to be with him. That is steadfastness. So most times, those things, you don't just say it with your mouth and you feel that it will end there. There will be temptation. Allah will also want to know if you're actually remorseful or you just said it on the tongue alone. So sometimes you keep falling into those things. But the most essential part of it is immediately you are falling, the consciousness part of it is saying, you are going back. Or immediately you committed, astaghfirullah. Not as, I did it again. Oh,
well, there's
nothing I can do about. No, you don't give up. Immediately you fall back into it. Astaghfirullah. I didn't mean to do this. Those are the steps Allah is expecting. Allah is not expecting you to be perfect. It's only Allah that holds perfection. Even somebody, you know, that I read, I saw an image yesterday. It says a woman talking to people about Islam. She has her own hair. She has her. Some people say, how can a scholar be doing this? Is he not a real woman?
How can he? There's a thought that was expressed some time ago about the fact that we are actually entitled to our sins because we are human. Not that
you have
sins
to
are good.
Good.
Not that
yes.
You have to do sins, but it is unfair for a person to put such a heavy burden on another
human
being.
You can't even be perfect.
That's, you never commit it, how could you do such a thing?
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says, we cleansed him. When he was 4 years old, Allah sent some angels to cleanse him of sin.
A four-year-old.
And that was what made Halima to return him back to Makkaden. Okay, let me tell you. We always have this notion that most of the prophets, there is no prophet that hadn't sinned against Allah. Who are we? You understand? But the ability for them to always go back to their creator.
Yes.
What about this La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin? It was a prophet. Allah didn't give the instruction. Allah said, don't leave when I say don't leave until I say you should leave.
Don't leave until I said you should leave.
And he left. That was how the whale swallowed.
Yes, that's Prophet Yunus.
And he actually saw that, I have passed my boundary.
Yes.
Started saying, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz
zalimin. In the darkness of the belly of
yes.
the whale.
Look at this story of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. I learned something of recent when there is a course I was doing with Sheikh Hassan. Then he said, when Prophet Adam was telling Allah that he was sorry, he now said a statement to Allah. He said, Allah, but you know I was going to eat that food even before you created me.
Which is another angle to it.
Allah knows that
it
was.
It's another angle to it.
And Allah gave instruction. Before Allah gave that instruction, Allah knew you. Allah, he said, Allah, but you know me. Even before you created me, you know I was going to eat that.
So why the setup, so to speak?
So, you know, he was actually, and that's why he kept asking Allah for forgiveness. It got to a stage, he said he wouldn't leave that sujood until that. I read something sometimes ago, I'm still trying to confirm from some scholars if it's actually right, that even Shaitan has this notion that there is a prayer that we recite to Allah on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah and Allah will forgive him.
Interesting.
So when I read about that thing, I don't know, I'm still going to make some research, inshallah, and I'm still going to talk about it on this program, inshallah. So it says that he spoke to Nabi Musa, Shaitan spoke to Nabi Musa and said, that on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, if he if he is a, he has a prayer that he would say to Allah, and Allah will forgive him. And Musa was like, wow, you have led so many people astray. Hey. And you see, Shaitan kept telling people that Allah should give him the audacity to mislead people. Allah said they will always, and my mercy will always prevail. Allah. As far as they keep coming back to me. But what I'm going is this Sayyid al-Istighfar. He was telling Musa, and they were talking about the virtues of that Sayyid al-Istighfar. And Musa spoke with Allah and said, Allah, is it true that Shaitan is going to ask for forgiveness and is going to be forgiven? He said, I will not allow him to remember. Look at this istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa anta. You are kolatani. I put my hope in you. Wa ana abdika. I am your slave. Wa ana ala hadika. Wa hadika mastatut. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. As in, if you look at the meaning and how he was talking to Allah, you will feel like, you know, it's like when you are praising somebody. He says, oh Allah, you are my Lord. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta. He says, kolatani, there is no God but you. Wa ana abdika, you created me. Wa ana ala hadika, and I'm your servant. Wa wadika mastata, and I abide by your covenant. This is your covenant, oh. Hey, Allah Akbar. And he was talking about the promises of Allah. As best as Allah has made a covenant and he has a promise. He said, I seek refuge in you from the evil of what I have done. I acknowledge your blessings upon me. He now further said, and I admit my sin. So forgive me, for none forgive sins except
but you. Allahu Akbar.
He made Allah understand that there is a covenant. It is you that made this covenant. It is you that made this promise. And you forgive whatever I have done. It is even all up to you. So how somebody has humbled himself before Allah. And Allah can be so merciful. Sometimes when I recite this Sayyid al-Istighfar, there's something you feel when you're going along with the meaning.
Yes, like a weight has been lifted.
And you know something, the Prophet says, somebody went, during the, I've forgotten who, it was talking about istighfar, that somebody went to meet the Prophet and says, I have so many depth of me. The Prophet says, go and be thinking istighfar. Said, I don't have a spouse. We said, go and be doing istighfar. Said, I don't have children. Go and be doing istighfar. So many things. And the Sahaba was like asking the Prophet, you are giving the same recommendation for different things.
Is
the
it says, like
yes,
they would say?
Like an antibiotic.
Like an antibiotic.
The Prophet says, once Allah forgives, don't you see the mercy? How flows. You, flows. The mercy flows automatically. So once you are being forgiven, what else do you expect from a merciful God than to bless you? So why won't a servant go? The Prophet says, I go back seeking istighfar 70 times a day. That most times I go back telling Allah, Allah, I'm sorry. I have hair. Please forgive me.
And this dua that you said now, one of the reasons why even I am able to relate to it is because you can find it in Citadel.
Yes.
These prayer books.
Yes.
Whereby,
Hisnul Muslim.
Yes, Hisnul Muslim, Fortress of the Muslim, Citadel of the Believer. Those are the several titles that book has. And I find it to be a very remarkable book because it has the
lots of
remarkable prayers and the hadiths
and the references of the hadiths.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm sure that our listeners will also find this very useful, you know. Very useful. And also there's this thing they say about when you mentioned about Nawafil, the fact that for every time you make ablution, as the water runs through
your hands, sins are dropped.
Your sins, it is said that your sins are also dropped. So,
and when you even go to Ruku, the Prophet says, it's like you are offloading all your sins.
Allahu Akbar.
Not talk of when you now get to sujood. That is the most pleasure and the most favorable position Allah loves.
And so the wisdom behind that is now asking you to do that 5 times a day.
The Prophet says, do you think that it will remain the person will be dead? Somebody that has 5 oceans to bath before it enters, before he or she enters his house, and he will bath 5 times before going out. So your daily prayers are like God's ocean. When you maybe you are coming from the market, and before you enter your house, you have like 5 clean oceans. You bath here,
the second one, the second one, the second, the next one, the next one, the third one, the fourth one, and the fifth one. How will you be dirty by the time you enter your house?
I mean, this topic is really interesting.
It is.
And it hits close to home because there's no one that doesn't have sins in their docket. So, but remembering that Allah is merciful, Allah is the most merciful, in fact, gives us a lot of hope. Now, I mean, I know we've said a lot of things in the course of this conversation, but particularly, can you share with us practical habits or spiritual routines that can help someone stay consistent after making the decision to return to Allah?
No, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Firstly, I have spoken about factors that can help you leave those things. Probably if you need to change environment, if you need to change some friends, change. If you need to look at the people you mingle yourself with, you need to do that. But each time, always have a reflection that be intentional. That's something that is very common these days. As a parent, you have to be intentional. As a worker, you have to be intentional. As siblings, you have to be intentional. Everything you do, you have to be intentional. Just be intentional. I am doing this to achieve the mercy of Allah. I am doing this so that I can be closer to you, Allah. I am doing this so that I can attain your Jannah. So you have to be intentional about it.
So practical steps, practical intentional.
Yes, be intentional, number one. Number two is try to do things that make you get closer to your Lord. As small as two nawafil, you don't have to do something so bulky. Even if it is just a verse a day, try to sit with the Quran, time with the Quran, then make sure you chant the adhkar. Sometimes, apart from the morning and the evening at Karo, make sure you are consistent with it, okay? If you need to draft a timetable, please do draft a timetable. Yes, it helps you. If you can have a timetable,
to
checklist. Yes, to-do list. Have it. And you mark, today is Monday. I remember when we were in secondary school, we used to have that to-do list.
Yes.
12, no, when we read about this hadith of the Prophet that says, if you observe 12 rak'ah a day, Allah will build a house for you in Jannah. You understand? So we used to pray Rakatin Fajr two Nawafil before Zuhr, then four after Zuhr, then two before Ashri, Maghrib, after Maghrib, and two after Isha. We always have that. You know, we have books. Okay, did I read Quran today? Did I read one hadith? Did I understand? So, but don't do it so bulky.
Then just take one thing.
Yes. Even if you have to use your phone. Because
as
one
a
thing,
reminder.
Yes, as a reminder, said I have. You can. There are lots of apps these days that will remind you of Allah. There is this askar reminder that even when you are gossiping or you are talking about idle talk, yes, your phone will say astaghfirullah. Unconsciously, you feel it. If you are doing something like sometimes my phone maybe. I remember the day my daughter was doing something and the phone said, astaghfirullah. She said, it's like the phone was talking to her. Ah, what you are doing? If your mommy catch you, you know.
So sorry, Hajia, please hold that thought. Okay. We have a question from one of our listeners. Okay. It says, good morning, WFM. Thank you for this program. Please, what do you want to tell a person, a believer that was in a serious problem, keeps praying to God, and every time dreamt that more is coming? And in the morning, the person gets another query. At a point, the person was thinking Allah should have stopped the escalation of all these tribulations with all the prayers. Please give the person the assurance of Allah's mercy. This one is from Bola. Thank you so much, Bola, for sending in this question.
Alhamdulillah. Sister Bola, to you, Allah is merciful. And let me tell you, there is no duha that you have made that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not answered. Allah has only said, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah will not bring a problem or a trial to you that you have more capacity, that you don't have the capacity to bear. And let me tell you some things. At times you have this problem when it keeps persisting and you are praying to Allah. There are four ways out which Allah answers your prayer. Is either Allah give it to you the way you want it? Is either Allah use it to stop some more evil? Or Allah keep it for you on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah? So sometimes there might be lessons that you need to pick from that trial that is happening at that moment. Not because Allah is not listening to you. Of course, your voice is conversant with Allah. You keep praying, and even the angels, they are familiar with your voice.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, when you keep calling Allah, once you start talking to Allah, the Prophet says, the angels will say, this voice has come again. So your voice is recognized with your Creator. It is either Allah is using it to keep something for you, but please learn the lessons Allah wants you to learn. Maybe the query from work and the likes. Allah might just want you to pick some lesson, because Allah is taking you to a greater height, and it feels that if you don't gain some things, because there is a level, you need to gain some levels before you can handle some levels.
Mm.
You need to gain some levels before you can handle some levels. So Allah really wants you to gain that level before he take you to a greater level.
So my even though you are praying for that thing at that point
in
time,
taking you to
Allah
somewhere.
Knows that, okay, look, you're not ready for this magnitude of blessing yet. So receive a bit more training, either in patience, either in any other way,
you need
before,
it.
You know, get.
So many times we think about the trials. No, we should think of the lessons Allah wants us to learn in that lesson. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't pick lessons. That's why Allah still bring back that trial again. Allah will keep bringing back that trial if you don't pick that lesson. So each time a trial comes, pray to Allah, what is the lesson you want actually want me to pick from this trial? So that hold on to that lesson and tell Allah that whatever time you need to implement that lesson, a lesson you have learned from that trial, Allah should give you a retentive memory to remember that you need to implement. Sometimes when you don't achieve some, if you don't have some primary lessons, you won't be able to handle some secondary problem.
So what we're saying in essence is that even if a person finds themselves in a situation whereby they are experiencing some tribulations, or they are begging Allah for a particular thing, and repeatedly it keeps escalating, they should be reassured that Allah is merciful.
Allah is even closer to them than their jugular vein.
Yes.
And don't even have the mindset that Allah is not listening to you.
Mm.
You haven't just gotten to
Allah.
You haven't just gotten to where he's taking it.
Mm.
So is that?
And there's this thing we heard also about when we make prayer, just like what you were saying about there's no prayer that Allah answers.
Yeah.
So is it that Allah does not answer? I beg your pardon. So what that means is either he's delaying it
for a purpose. That's why I said there are ways at which prayers are answered. If that prayer is not going to be answered, you wouldn't even be able to make it.
To make it.
That's what the Prophet
said. So if you are inspired to make a prayer, it is because Allah wants
just
to answer it.
Yes, Allah has already answered it.
Mm.
The way at which the way or manner at which Allah answered it is what you don't understand.
Mm.
Sometimes you want to walk a straight road. Sometimes Allah wants to take you 360 degree routes.
Before
maybe five, six times before you get to where you're going. So sometimes you just want to walk straight. No, Allah, you don't drag the steering with Allah.
Mm.
You don't tell Allah this is. Sometimes we make mistakes. When we make prayer, we now tell Allah.
Stage
so if you
manage
now do this, yes, you'll be stage managing everything. You'll be telling Allah this is how you want the things to go. No, you don't tell Allah how to go about it. Just tell Allah, just leave the steering with Allah. Let Allah handle it.
So give your full reliance to Allah.
That is tawakkul.
Mm.
Just tell Allah, this is what I want. Mm. I don't want to tell you how, but do it in a way that I'll be so pleased. And there's this verse of the Quran that says that, and Allah is going to give you and you are going to be satisfied.
Mm,
there's this verse that I love so much in Surah Tudua. It says, Wala sawfa yutika rubuka fatarudu. Allah, then he says, your tomorrow is going to be better than today.
Mm.
So, certainly, Allah said it in the Quran, Inna ma li yusra. He says, when there is trials, there is ease.
Within the trial.
Within the trial.
Mm.
So, and there's a verse Allah still says that, Allah still says that after trials, ease will come. So, certainly, ease is coming.
Mm.
Or ease is inside that trial already.
Thank you so much, Hajia. In fact, this topic is such an interesting one. It's such a deep topic. And mashallah, you've done a lot of justice to the topic. We are so pressed for time now.
Okay.
We could keep going on and on. Because, I mean, who does not need to know about the forgiveness of Allah?
No.
We all require the forgiveness of Allah. And we are all striving. So if
we are all working in progress.
Yes. We are
so nobody's an angel.
Yes.
Nobody is exempted.
Yes.
So once you know that, don't see somebody and say, this one is exempted. No.
Mm-hmm.
Even the rich also cry.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, if you've been listening to us today, we want to remind you that Allah is the most merciful,
the most aware and is closer to us than our jugular vein, and his promises are true. So we should never despair of the mercy of Allah. And we should also look at what are the things that are aiding some certain sins that we are doing, and try to take away those factors from our surrounding. But most importantly, even if we fall by the wayside, we should continue to revert to Allah, and Allah will continue
Sorry,
to
let me
quickly
chip in.
We have to go.
Okay.
So sorry. We have to
okay,
go now.
We are running out of time.
I want to thank our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Made to understand that a lot of people have been trying to call in, but their calls have not been able to come in, but we're able to get a message which we attended to. We also thank Hajia Sekina. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. We hope that next time when we invite you, you'll be able to honor our invitation. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio WFM 91.7, and of course the show is Everyday Muslim, sponsored by MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Center. Thank you so much for joining the show. This show happens every Saturday between 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm glad to have hosted the show today. I remain your host, Laudable Latifa Omotoluwake. Thank you so much for listening, and you know, join us again, same time, same station, next week. Hajia, thank you so much.
Yeah,
it was really a pleasure listening to you. We could go on and on. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Jazakum la khairan, jaza. One challenge or the other, may Allah meet all of us at our points of need and grant us the best of this world and the best in the hereafter. May Allah not take our souls unless He is pleased with us and He has forgiven us. On this note, I'll say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
I'm a gun low, I'm a gun, but this is my life. I ain't gonna lie, this is my life. I say bad boy, we get OT, stacking paper, play nicely, little messy. Thank God we dey alive, more blessings, sing clearly and gaily. I know say